So, good morning, everybody. Guten Morgen. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We are going to read from verses 17 until the end of the chapter. And it begins with, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for your word, and I pray that you would meet us, Lord, that you would teach us this morning as we think about a few things of these verses, Lord. Just help us to know you, help us to know your ways, help us to know your kindness to us, and help us to know what you're doing, Lord, where we're sailing to, where you're leading us. Help us to understand that, and help us to apply that. In Jesus' name, amen. There's some feedback here. If we could get rid of that, it would be great. Imagine a man released from prison. He's served 30 years, and he's wearing his prison uniform, whether it's orange, whether it's green, whatever country it is. But he, day in, day out, he's just wearing that prison uniform. But then all of a sudden, he's pardoned. He's forgiven. And he's freed. You can just imagine just walking out of that prison after 30 years and you're free, you've been given new clothes, but he insists on wearing his prison outfit. And when people see him, they don't see his freedom. All they see is a past that really doesn't fit him anymore. And this, in a sense, is what's being said in Ephesians chapter 4. Last week, We looked at the first part of chapter 4, and we looked at walking worthy of the gospel. We looked at a soldier wears a uniform, and he has a tremendous responsibility to represent that uniform. And we saw that he wears that uniform and represents that uniform because of where he comes from, the country, the culture that is represented in the culture. And we see, just to recap really briefly, chapters 1 through 3, Paul has been unfolding the riches of God's grace in our life. We've been chosen, we've been redeemed, we've been forgiven, we've been made alive, and we've been seated with Christ. It doesn't matter whether it's a Jew, it doesn't matter whether it's a Gentile, we have been made one body, one family, one temple. And the chapters 1 through 3 are all about God's mercy and our identity in Him, who we are. And because of God's heart for us, last week we looked at of His great love, His generous grace, and His eternal purpose in our life. And that means that we need to live in humility, we need to protect unity, and we need to grow in maturity. But how? And this is where Paul tells us the how today in verses 17 through 22, because we looked at the fact that this is supposed to apply to every area of our life. We are freed men, released from prison. We are not working for freedom, we're working from freedom. We're not working for forgiveness, we're working from forgiveness. We're not working for acceptance, we're working from acceptance. In Ephesians, verses 17 and 22 say this, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." Verse 22, "that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed by the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which has been," notice this word, "created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." So Paul is saying that walking worthy of our calling means taking off an old life and putting on the new one that Christ has given us. People in the world are dying for a fresh start, particularly on repeated offenses. There's several things in our life that we're just like, a certain season in our life, if I could just have a fresh start. That is exactly what God has done for us in Christ. And walking worthy of it means that we put off the old, when a fresh start means no more of something and a yes to something else. No matter how small that yes is, it is no more something and a yes to a new future. And Paul shows us here three steps. Number one, leave the old life. Number two, embrace the new life. Number three, live a spirit-filled life. Right? So number one, leave the old life. Verses 17 and 19. "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer." There should be in our lives a time where it's no longer. I've done this long enough. It never has benefited. I've lived a life my way. I've hit the wall enough times, and at one point or another in our life, we have to be able to say, no more. And I'm not even talking about specific things. I'm talking about a specific attitude. Not my way, but we say, from now on, no longer my way. I just want your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and may it begin in my heart. I want to live a life of surrender to God. No longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. What does it mean, the rest of the Gentiles? How do they walk? They walk I did it my way. What they feel, when they feel it, how they feel it, with whom they feel it, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, what matters is what I want. You should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened by being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. The old life is marked by futility, by darkness of heart, by darkness, by hardness of heart, by callousness, and by impurity. That's who we were. And it's interesting now, because I think it's important that we clarify this. Before we were Christians, there was a sense that there was a goodness about us, because we are created in the image of God. There's creativity, we have ability to love our children, we have ability to a certain degree for commitment. We are created in the image of God. We have an ability to do good in the earth. There's a sense that's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about that we are bad, but it's incredible about the oxymoron. On the one hand, we are created in the image of God and we are able to do tremendous good. On the other hand, it's amazing how we are able to take that tremendous good and also ruin it. So we can, I'm just trying to think of I just can't think of an example right now, but I mean, take marriage, for example. It's amazing. We can love somebody. We can say we are going to, we have the desire and we have the intentions. We have the created in the image of God. I want to love you for the rest of my life. And then we get into marriage, and through the selfishness, not just of one, but of two, and even of the people around them, the whole thing gets ruined. And next thing you know, there's lawsuits, and there's bickering, and there's fighting. And you're like, how is it? I mean, on the one hand, I want what is good. On the other hand, I ruin it. And that's what he's saying the world lives in. That's what he's saying we did. We walked under that sway. And not even to talk about you guys, when I think about futility, darkness, hardness of heart, callousness, and impurity, I don't have to go any further than me. At different stages of my life, it looked differently. But at one stage, at the very worst of it, there was always that thought, I'm all right. At the very worst of it, I spent a couple of years that even drug addicts were telling me, you can't handle this. You are going to die. And the stuff I did to others, and not only the stuff that I did to others, but the stuff I did to myself, it was just shocking. I shocked myself. And at one point, the Lord surrounded me with Christians. And I had that opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And the day in North Carolina where I knelt down to receive Jesus as my Savior, I remember that day I got up on the stage. I don't know how it happened. And I said to the whole group, I said, I'm done with cocaine. I'm done with my life. I'm done with what I've been doing. I want a new life in Christ Jesus. Listen, there began then no longer that, and the yes to Jesus. It was hard. It was a little yes. I failed at times, but I could always go to my Lord, his kindness that leads us to repentance we sang last week, love stronger than all sin. And I was able to go to him, and I said, Lord, I know I no longer want that. I don't want my way. I want your way. And my yes is small, but please strengthen that yes. I don't want to wear the prison clothes anymore. I want to wear the victory clothes that you've given. We are still tempted to slip back into old patterns. And please, it doesn't look like old patterns cocaine. That's not it. The old patterns is my way, it don't matter what anybody say. That's the pattern. And the new pattern is, I have a new king, the lover of my soul. I have a hope in given me that goes beyond death. Nothing can destroy the hope that Jesus has brought. There's a change going on within me where he's bringing me to glory to glory. And although I'm not what I should be, I'm not what I'm not. I'm not what I was, but I'm not what I will be. There's a process, there's a growing, there's a transformation as we're going to look. But I'm no longer to put on the prison clothes anymore because they just don't fit anymore. I'm different. And I have to ask myself at times, seasons, I don't want to be introspective, always looking within and sort of get depressed because in my flesh dwells no good thing. But at times it's good to look within as we're walking with Jesus to say, Jesus, what is it in my life that I might grow into a different pattern? Because I want to grow with you. No one has a future like you have. But it's interesting that the Bible doesn't just tell us to put off things. Can you imagine going to a tennis? You guys played tennis for many years. And it's like, if you had a coach, and funny enough, my son just told me this week. It kind of broke my heart. But can you imagine going to a tennis coach and he says, your swing is wrong. Your serve is wrong. The way you walk is wrong. Your positioning is wrong. Your posture is wrong. 50 euros. My son said to me the other day, I called him, and it's not true what he said, but I just think in that moment he was focused. He's like, Dad, you only call me to tell me what I'm doing wrong. Well, that's not very helpful. We don't wanna deal with what is wrong. The Bible doesn't do that. The Bible says put off, but then it focuses on what to put on for chapters on end. Paul doesn't just say what to take off. He shows us what we should put on. Verses 20 through 24 encourages us to embrace the new life we have in Christ Jesus. Notice, but you have not so learned Christ. Jesus has been teaching you, since indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and holiness. And notice that key word, put on the new man that was created. This is huge because we're not looking to make the old man good. That's a temptation that many people fall into. And you know what that means? If you try to make the old man good, you just make a Pharisee. You make a Pharisee that thinks he's better than everybody else. So we are not to make the old man good. We are to put on the new man that was created in Christ Jesus to live in us. In Galatians it says, circumcision or uncircumcision is not what matters. What matters is, are you a new creation? Have you been changed deeply in your heart? The Christian life is not about information, but about transformation. We don't just learn words, we learn Jesus. And the Spirit renews our minds and gives us a new nature. We have a friend that during the pandemic, and the whole life, they've really been into sort of like positive self-help books, which it literally means that you help yourself, you make yourself better, you develop yourself, you encourage yourself, you grow yourself. And it's like, and at one point, I'll never forget, she wrote she wrote on social media, this self-help books are a bunch of baloney, because she got to a place where she had nobody else to help but Jesus. And you can glean from self-help books to a degree as long as the Spirit is working in you. I want to describe it like this. It's like a caterpillar. Our life, when we become Christians, we are like caterpillars. You don't look very good. We're like a worm. We eat a lot. We're just kind of like self-absorbed, just eating anything we can get a hold of. But then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit begins to do something in our life, and we find ourselves in a bit of a cocoon. And if you could put it up there, this is just fascinating. Look at this. It says, after the caterpillar has eaten and grown enough, it attaches itself to a safe spot like a twig or leaf and sheds its last skin, revealing the chrysalis or pupa underneath. At first, the chrysalis may look soft, but it soon hardens into a protective shell. And what is this? Inside, an incredible transformation happens. The caterpillar's body breaks down into a sort of soup. I mean, please, guys, that's crazy. I mean, it breaks down into a sort of soup, and special groups of cells called imaginal discs build the structures of the adult butterfly wings, legs, and antenna and body. That's crazy, isn't it? I mean, the soup part is the thing that gets me. It's not like it's sort of just kind of like, okay, let's readjust a little bit. It actually melts down, and then something within begins to organize itself, and from the soup, it begins to rebuild and transform itself into a butterfly. Listen, I know of no better way to explain what happens to us in Christ Jesus. The old man is there, the shell. But we are, and many times it happens, we become Christians and a breaking down, almost like to dissolve happens in our life. And we wonder, what in the world is happening in my life? But what we see then afterwards, when we hit rock bottom, that all of a sudden a reconstruction begins to happen and you begin to experience new life, new beauty, new desires. I mean, when the butterfly comes out, it no longer eats leaves. All of a sudden, it feeds on pollen. It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, the whole thing. But that's what happens to us. And then look at the thing, the next sentence, which is amazing. Even though it looks still from the outside, it looks still, like nothing's happening from the outside, the pupa is a very active stage of change and development. In our life, sometimes, you know, we become believers and we see this new life and we see the old life. We don't really know how to really alphabetize it, how to define it. And sometimes it just seems like nothing is happening in our life. I don't know if you ever felt like this, but you're like, it just seems like I'm not growing. It just seems like I take 10 steps forward and 20 back. And it seems like nothing's happening. But notice, just like with the cocoon, it seems still on the outside, but great things are going on inside. Listen, when we sing, I want to worship you from the inside out. That's what it means. It means we don't do it from the outside. We want that deep change on the inside. And it is deep, and it is powerful, and it is beautiful. And what Paul is saying is, put off the old guy that you owe nothing to and yield to this new life that God has given you. It doesn't just, it's not just supposed to improve its crawling. It's not to try to fly without wings, but it is transformed into a butterfly. And the Christian life is literally impossible without this transformation. It's not about pretending. It's about becoming what we already are. And the question I want to ask you today is, do you see yourself as a new creation and live like it? Do you see yourself as a new creation and live like it? Because the butterfly cannot go around acting like a caterpillar. And Paul gets very practical with this in the next verses, 25 through 32. Paul says, live spirit-filled. Live a spirit-filled life in every area of our life. He says in verse 25, put off lying. Speak truth. You cannot build a healthy marriage on lies. You cannot be a good employee or a good employer building on lies. It just can't happen. Trust me, I grew up in a family where lying was completely unnecessary, but it was all over the place. Don't tell your dad I did this. Don't tell your mom I did that. I couldn't keep up with it all. But speaking the truth to one another, at work, at church, at home, with the kids, being honest, being sincere. That's what God is doing in us. He's beginning in us a life of honesty with one another. Put off sinful anger, verses 26 and 27. Means hand, in the translation that we read, it says, be angry and do not sin. What does it mean? Yeah, there are certain things that are going to make us angry. There are certain things. My grass is being watered. But there's certain things in our life that will make us angry. I mean, I don't think we can be true Christians unless we get angry about injustice. But have you noticed sometimes that people watch the news or they're Christians and they get into this, and next thing you know, they're angry with the whole world. It's like they're angry, but their angry turns wrong because no longer are we doing the right thing. We're just venting at everybody, so we're part of the problem instead of part of the solution. Notice this one, put off stealing. And work hard that you might be able to share. Now look at that one. I mean, I think the key is don't be a person that takes constantly, but be a person that's able to bring generosity to people. Be helpful to people. Obviously, it means stealing, but I'm trying to look a little bit more into that. Put off corrupt words. There's certain things that just come too quickly out of our lips. And it's amazing the damage that we can do with our lips. Sometimes jokingly, sometimes angrily. Sometimes there are things that you just wish, like you say them and you're like, no! You wish you could take those things back. The reality is that we have to be careful of what we say. We have to be careful what we say when we are angry. But you know what? But don't focus just on the what not to do. The thing is, can you speak words that encourage people? You know, I was talking to Jonathan. He's in a school in the Black Forest, my son. And what did I write him? I said, Jonathan, just go to school today. Don't focus on who you're going to fit in. Just sit somewhere. Wait for somebody to come to you and sit down. And you know what? Be gracious, be kind, and encourage somebody today. The Spirit of God will lead us to be a breath of fresh air in people's lives. And sometimes we're so consumed with complaining and sort of like the... Have you ever noticed the news? It's all bad news. You ever get around people and everything's just complaining about this? You know, my Yorkians, they're the best. I'm one, so I can say it. You know, it's just like, you walked from here to the cars over here on the top, and it's amazing. How are you? Oh, it's too hot. Oh, okay. How are you? Oh, it's too cold. How are you? Oh, it's just perfect, and I don't like it. You know, it's just like no matter what, it's something to complain about. Well, you know what? Let's train ourselves not to be positive in a wrong way, but let's guard ourselves. Instead of jumping with everything that enters our tongue, let's think. Imagine that. And think before you speak. And actually, how can I build someone up today? How can I build my wife up today? How can I build up my husband today? How can I build up my children today? How can I build my parents today? How can I be a blessing at work today? Instead of putrefied fruit that infects other fruit, how can we bring health? And this one is crazy. Put off bitterness. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiven one another. Be kind. The Spirit of God, put off the old man of just talking about people and being rude to people. You know, just be kind. You guys know we had a construction site at our work, at our home, and we have been building a kitchen. The guy came in February, and he said to me, he said to my wife and I, we'll have it done, we're going to start in April. Yes, the day before yesterday, Friday he came. If I told you that he had not come before, I would lie to you. He came, but it was like, it wasn't raining like that. It was like one drop a month. It's like he would show up for a couple hours or send somebody, and it's just been a nightmare. And I called David, who was playing the guitar, he's an architect, and I said, David, I need you to please help me because I don't know what to do anymore. So he was very kind but very firm. He's like, Raph needs it. There's people coming in. They need to be in there. I'll come Monday. No, Monday's not going to do it. It's got to be this week. And you got to have it finished by next week. Oh, no. You got to do it. And then he came. He came into the house. And I'm like, David, my stomach is, I don't want to see him. I don't want to talk to him. I'm so upset with him. You ever felt like that? You know, it's like, David, I can't even look at him. And then Loretta came to the house, and they were talking to him, and they were there. And then I went away, and then Loretta says, David said you couldn't even look at him. I was like, I can't even. But I did. And I was very nice to him. I was kind to him. I was kind. I really was kind to him. I didn't want to be kind to him. But I had to switch the uniform. I had to literally take off the prison uniform and put on the Christ in me, and I had to be kind to him. And then David took me to the side, and he says, Raph, at the end of the day, at this stage, the last thing you want to do is offend them. Just ride the wave. And you know what? It took everything within me, but I don't want to get bitter. It's just the kitchen. My kitchen. But really, do we want our hearts to be consumed, obsessed? One of the things Oh my goodness, I'm going blank on who said it. I'm just not sure if Jesus said it or Paul, but somewhere it says, no, it's Jesus. He says, the heart of many will grow cold. As the world, as civilization develops or moves forward, it says that people are going to become hard-hearted. I don't want that for my life. I want to have thick skin, but tender heart. I don't want to be easily offended, but I want to have a tender heart towards people. You know, as we were watching about the boxes, I just thought these, at one point, did you see the canoe with the boxes on there? And I'm just like, oh my goodness. You know what? I want to send kindness all over the world. Not all over the world, even to my carpenter. But words are like nuclear power. It can do a lot of good, and it can do a lot of damage. And usually, damaging words come from bitter hearts, not tender hearts. Bottling anger. Sometimes we mistake patience with just bottling things up, don't we? We just take it, and we take it, and we take it. And then at one point we say, enough. That's not spirituality. The Holy Spirit comes and He reasons with us and He's shaping us like that caterpillar. Forgiveness. Notice this. It says, as Jesus forgave us, we should forgive other people. Isn't that amazing? Or we should forgive other people as it says, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Who are you unforgiving with? Let me ask you something. How much has Jesus forgiven you? And I understand it's complex. We need a process. Sometimes I've been there where I can't even hear the person's name. But I think we have to say, Lord, make the time, make the place, and definitely do that chemistry work in my heart. I don't want to grow bitter. I don't want to become a curmudgeon when I'm old. A curmudgeon, just a complainer, just a someone dressed, someone walks around, you know, just complaining about everybody. Which of these, and I would ask a question, which one of these things is the Spirit highlighting in you this morning? What are the things that you need to put off and you need to be able to put on in relationships? Paul's message is clear. Don't wear the prison clothing. Put on the freedom clothes. So let's go back to the picture. A man freed from prison but still wearing his prison clothes. It doesn't make sense. You are free in Christ. You've been forgiven. You've been adopted and given a new identity. So why keep wearing rags of bitterness, dishonesty, anger, and impurity? Those are not your clothes anymore. And I want to finish with this, but this is not by sheer self-determination. It's not, yeah, I'm going to do this. This is what the Spirit of God is producing in us. The Spirit of God in us is at work renewing us from the inside out. The Holy Spirit with us, the Holy Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit upon us. He prompts us, He urges us, He leads us. The Spirit produces a kind of disturbance within us we are aware of. A power dealing with us, a power other than ourselves. So, I mean, I just want to put it in the context of marriage or even with kids. But, I mean, as a family, I mean, to me, there's nothing better than a family under the sway of the Spirit of God. Sometimes we just get annoyed. I mean, Loretta's like, hey, this morning, Loretta, she goes, It was early morning. We had an extra hour of sleep. She's about to get up, and she says, "Raf, would you like a coffee?" I'm like, "Well, actually, I would love one." So I'm sitting there. She gets up. I don't even think she went downstairs. She crawled right back to bed and went to sleep. I'm thinking, where is my coffee? I actually said, "Loretta, you left me hanging. I thought you were going to bring me a coffee." She says, "I don't know. I just put my headphones on and began to read to the Bible, or listen to the Bible." And I was just like, huh. I know it sounds dumb, but that's where it begins. You know, it's, you got to nip it at the bud. If you go there and you just kind of go, "You failed me. And you don't only fail me this time, but you failed me that time and that time and that time and that time." And you know what? You just got to listen to the Holy Spirit saying, "It's not a big deal, Raf. Chill out. Put off the old man. Put on the new man and go make your own coffee, you little sucker." You know, it's just like, it's not that big of a deal. But our life is not 1 hour like that. It is all the time like that. We are constantly putting off the old clothes. The old man is trying to take over, and we have to say, "No longer that way. I walk this way. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back." It is a determination in combination with the Holy Spirit. Our little yes gets strengthened by his love that is stronger than sin, by his Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for these incredible words that are here for us to grow healthy. To grow as women and men of God and children of God that have been changed by you. To walk worthy of you, Lord. You've done so much for us. You've given us so much. We're not trying to seek your acceptance. You accept us. You're just making a butterfly, Lord. And I pray that you would teach us that beautiful secret, Lord, of saying, "No longer. I put off and I put on by your Spirit." We pray this, Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen.